Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
What is going on in the world? That's what we want to try to be able to bring you every day. Every single day, as a matter of fact, on VFN TV. You got to catch us on the Gulf Coast. It's every day at 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. on WHBR. You got to catch us there every Monday through Friday. And 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on VFN TV and the daily radio program. Jerusalem. What does Jerusalem mean? Why do people talk about Jerusalem? Why is Jerusalem always in the mountains, always on the news? Why is this mountain, Mount Moriah, which is, you see the cameras always going there. And basically, if you might not know this or not, that's the western wall of the temple of God when God's temple was here and established on the earth. That's where God's glory was manifested. And why, of all the real estate on the earth, think about it, there's like 7 point some odd billion people on the face of the earth. I mean, there's like nice land in the islands, there's nice land in Asia, there's nice land in Russia, there's nice land all over the world. Why, there's kind of sandy land a lot in the Middle East, but why do they want this little piece of real estate that's approximately 60 miles wide, 70 miles wide at its widest point called Israel? You know why? Because that is God's property. That's God's property. And this is God showing himself mighty. God chose a people and God chose a place to be able to for his namesake, to be able to speak to us. And you know who knows that better than many people who are Christians? The adversary knows that. The adversary is trying to do everything he can to be able to take Israel, to be able to remove the Jews off the land, to be able to remove God's word. He's not going to be able to do it, but we have to wake up. It matters where we stand with Israel. It matters. Do you know in the end time, and I'll tell you in just a moment, in the end times when the Lord, we all stand before the Lord, do you know that he's going to judge us? He's going to judge us. And one of the things he's going to judge us on specifically is what we did with the land of Israel. First, I want to start with, when America was choosing its leaders, they had, you know, the conventions going on. They had one down in Florida. They had one up in South Carolina, wherever it was, with the Democratic National Convention. But they have a platform. And a platform basically is, what do we, as Americans, in this particular party, what do we believe? What do we want to stand for? What's our values? Well, at that particular gathering at the Democratic National Convention, which was led with, you know, an Islamic prayer. It began with an Islamic prayer. It was dedicated by a lady by the name of Vashti, which is very prophetically important to understand what that name means, Vashti. But in addition to that, they had the Russian Navy behind them while they were talking, and not the American Navy in the water. All those ships were actually, I don't know if you can see it now, but that was the Russian Navy that was there on that big monitron thing behind them while they were talking. Why is the Russian Navy behind our potential next leader of the country? But the biggest thing of all, despite all of that, is where did they want Jerusalem in the platform? Did they want to acknowledge God as God and that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, or do they want it removed? They actually removed it. And if it wasn't for a pastor from Ohio, guess what? It wouldn't be there today. But you know what? They were forced to do this. You got to see this. But I'm about to show you today, right today, this very day, they're coming against Israel. Take a look at this. Democratic National Convention.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This summer, I was proud to serve this party as the Platform Drafting Committee Chair. As the chair, I come before you today to discuss two important matters related to our party's national platform. As an ordained United Methodist minister, I am here to attest and affirm that our faith and belief in God is central to the American story and informs the values we've expressed in our party's platform. In addition, President Obama recognizes Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, and our party's platform should as well. Mr. Chairman, I have submitted my amendment in writing, and I believe it is being projected on the screen for the delegates to see. I move adoption of the amendment as submitted and shown to the delegates.
A motion has been made. Is there a second? Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, the matter requires a two-thirds vote in the affirmative. All those delegates in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those delegates opposed say no.
No.
In the opinion of the... Let me do that again. All of those delegates in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those delegates opposed say no. I guess.
You've got a rule, and then you've got to let them do what they're going to do.
I'll do that one more time. All those delegates in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those delegates opposed say no.
No.
In the opinion of the chair, two-thirds have voted in the affirmative. The motion is adopted. And the platform has been amended as shown on the screen. Thank you very much. Thank you. Now, Governor Strickland, thank you again for your service. Governor Strickland, thank you again for your service as chair of the platform drafting committee. Now, everyone, please.
That was the mayor of L.A. Leading that whole, quote, Robert's Rules of No Order, really. Saying, we're just going to push this thing through because it's not going to work in America, removing Jerusalem as the capital. So they actually forced that against the will of the people in that room. They didn't want Jerusalem. And obviously the president and the others who were in that particular party, the American citizens that were there, you know, some did, some didn't, but the majority didn't. But now let me show you this interview that just took place just yesterday on the Blaze, and hear what Israel's responses to what's going on right now, because you're looking at this whole narrative that says that, you know, Israel doesn't matter anymore. Jerusalem doesn't matter anymore. Christians don't matter anymore. What's going on? And what is Israel? What are the Jewish people in Israel thinking about us? You see, at VFN TV, we stand up for God and country in that order, and we stand up for Israel. And if we'll do that as a people, let me tell you something, God will turn things around. The choice is before us. We're like standing on the Mount Carmel right now, and Elijah's asking us, he's telling us, listen, you're going to have to choose who you're going to serve. There's only one God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Take a look at this.
Next week, the world's at a crossroads again. Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is addressing Congress, but instead of viewing this as an honor, the administration is calling his visit destructive to the fabric of the two nations' relationship.
What has happened over the last several weeks, by virtue of the invitation that was issued
by the Speaker
and the acceptance of it by Prime Minister Netanyahu on 2 weeks in advance of his election, is that on both sides there has now been injected a degree of partisanship, which is not only unfortunate, I think it's destructive of the fabric of the relationship, and it's something that...
It's destructive of the fabric of the relationship.
Well, Charlie, take my point. It's always been bipartisan. We need to keep it that way.
This is the woman who told us all about the video in Benghazi. What's destructive is repeatedly slamming Israel's prime minister, especially at a time of heightened fears of surviving the rise of old hatreds in Europe and the Middle East. This administration has a very long history of damaging our relationship with Israel.
For more than 60 years, they've endured the pain of dislocation. Many wait in refugee camps in the West Bank, Gaza, and neighboring lands for a life of peace and security that they have never been able to lead. They endure the daily humiliations, large and small, that come with occupation. So let there be no doubt, the situation for the Palestinian people is intolerable. And America will not turn our backs on the legitimate Palestinian aspiration for dignity, opportunity, and a state of their own. That America does not accept the legitimacy of continued Israeli settlements. We believe the borders of Israel and Palestine should be based on the 1967 lines with mutually agreed swaths, so that secure and recognized borders are established for both states.
What city does this administration consider to be the capital of Israel, Jerusalem or Tel Aviv?
I haven't had that question in a while. Our position has not changed, Connie. Can we...
What's the capital?
You know our position.
I don't.
No. She doesn't know. She doesn't know. That's why she asked.
She does know.
I don't.
She does not know. She just said she doesn't know. I don't know.
The Palestinian people deserve an end to occupation and the daily indignities that come with it. Put simply, Palestinians deserve a state of their own.
This development will only draw condemnation from the international community, distance Israel from even its closest allies, poison the atmosphere, not only with the Palestinians, but also with the very Arab governments with which Prime Minister Netanyahu said he wanted to build relations. It also would call into question Israel's ultimate commitment to a peaceful negotiated settlement with the Palestinians.
It is entirely legitimate for the American people to be deeply concerned when you've got a bunch of violent, vicious zealots who behead people or randomly shoot a bunch of folks in a deli in Paris.
It's really despicable what our administration is doing. Caroline Glick, she is a senior contributing editor with the Jerusalem Post. She joins me now from Israel. Caroline, most people, I don't think, understand what's really happening right now. This is a very important week next week, but most people say, well, why? Why should I care about the negotiations the president is carrying out with Iran? Can you explain why this is so important?
Sure. Thanks so much for having me on your program, Glenn. The reason that people should care is because Iran threatens and seeks to destroy the United States. And I mean, just today they had naval exercises and they shot their missiles at a mock-up U.S. Air Force carrier. So this is their answer when President Obama and his National Security Council attack Israel, attack our prime minister, attack our concern over our national survival because of what he's doing. The Iranians respond by blowing up a mock-up U.S. naval carrier. Their contempt for the United States is so obvious. The threat that they pose for the United States is so obvious. They're building intercontinental ballistic missiles that are capable of carrying a nuclear payload. Those aren't for Israel. I mean, they can hit us with any number of missiles they already have in their arsenal. They're not even for Europe. They're for the United States of America. And that's why every American citizen has to be concerned over what Obama is doing from a personal perspective. They also have to understand that the global economy is as well at stake, because while the United States is enabling Iran through its negotiations to acquire nuclear weapons, complete its nuclear weapons program, they're also standing back and so enabling Iran to take over large swaths of the Arab world. Just this month, an Iranian proxy militia took over Yemen. So Iran, if you look at the map, they control the Straits of Hormuz, which controls the egress of maritime traffic from the Persian Gulf into the ocean, and Yemen controls the other exit from the Arabian Peninsula into the ocean. So they now have maritime control over naval traffic from the Persian Gulf to the entire world.
I only have a minute here, and I wanted to ask you what are the people of Israel thinking about the United States when you're seeing Christians beheaded, you're seeing Jews chased out of Europe? You've got to be sitting here scratching your head going, what kind of parallel universe am I living in? What is the view of the United States over in Israel?
Well, you know, America itself is the most beloved country in Israel for Israelis, and American people are the most beloved people in Israel. But we think that the U.S. government has gone stark raving mad. The United States government policy is to adopt policies that empower all of America's worst enemies and endanger all of America's allies.
Carolyn, thank you very much. God bless you. God bless the state of Israel. Back in a minute.
Dear Lord, God bless Israel. Lord, we just pray for the protection of Israel. Why does this matter? Let me tell you why it matters. Joel chapter 3, verse 2. Let me tell you what it says right here. This is what he says. This is God. I will gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. There I will put them on trial for what they did to my inheritance, my people, Israel, because they scattered my people amongst the nations and divided my land. America, we have to wake up. We have to wake up. They are trying to divide the inheritance of the creator of the universe. Whose side are you on? Are you on God's side? Today, you have to make up your mind. One way you can do that, you've got to stand up. Stand up with BFN TV. Stand up with those that are saying the truth. We have a moment. We have a blink of an eye. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is going to be here March the 3rd, speaking before the nation's Congress to proclaim God's inheritance. Where do we stand? This is our choice. You've got to tell everybody. Spread it on social media. Let everybody know. You've got to stand up.
I want to say thank you to our partners who've been standing with us and our sponsors,
yes,
because we've been speaking this out for quite some time, mm-hmm, and now it is coming to pass. We are not trying to cover the news. We already know what the news is. We're trying to change
news.
We're trying to change it to a positive thing. For example, the news for Nineveh was, you're going to be destroyed. But God wanted the news to change.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted them to come back to him, or at least, you know, repent for what they were doing, so that he wouldn't have to destroy the land. So
right.
Jonah knew the news. I mean, he knew the news. This is not what we already know the news, but we want to change it. But it changes when you change. It changes when you decide to say, you know what? I'm going to be a doer of the word, not just a hearer. We got to do. I mean, think about it. Even if it all ended, don't you want to be doing when the master finds you? You know what I'm saying? Don't you, even if it's like if you got 5 seconds left, don't you want to be, okay, I'm going to do that 5 seconds on obedience.
That's right.
What you find out is quite often it feels like it's the last moment, but because you took that 5 seconds, 5 minutes, 5 days, 5 months, God turns everything and it begins to be, you know, a total transition and mm-hmm. Nineveh lives.
Yeah.
40 more years. And as we talked about right down today, this very moment, and you're seeing where our governmental leadership who, you know, Glick with the Jerusalem Post saying in that last interview with the Blaze with Glenn Beck is that they love the American people, but they think that the leadership of America has lost its mind.
It's mad.
It's mad.
It's mad. Gone mad.
You saw this on the program probably before, but when Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was speaking, I believe at the United Nations or wherever he was speaking at, he said this. He said, like Glick just said, they already have missiles that can reach us.
Mm-hmm.
The Middle East is not that big.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not that big. And it's not like America where you got to drive, you know, forever. 60, 70 miles wide at its widest point, Israel is.
Yeah.
They said, they have missiles. They've always had missiles to deliver things to us that could reach mm-hmm. us. Even Britain. What they're building missiles for is to be able to reach America.
Mm.
And just think about this Iranian-born advisor to the president of the United States, long-time friend that, you know, according to what was stated at the Stanford University, you know, back in 1977, I believe that, you know, she stated her goal was, she says, my faith is Islam and I want to be able to use the freedom of religion against itself, America, to be able, because mm-hmm. I want to bring Islam to America.
Want America to be a more Islamic country.
Yeah, that's what I say. We have that whole available for you there. And so, I mean, that's the goal. I mean, you can have all kinds of goals. It's a free country, although it's a Judeo-Christian
that's
nation.
Right.
So you're finding out to be able to make it an Islamic nation, we have to do away with Israel. Isn't it interesting that the goal of those in leadership right now is like to the key to making a American Islamic nation? Remember, you might not know this, and you can find out on the VFN Torch. Go to VFN Torch and the menu drops down there, and you'll have Islam 101. This is what you learn with it. It's the antithesis of the gospel. It's the antithesis, the opposite. I mean, if the Bible says up, the Quran says down. If the Bible says, you know, lay down your life and for others, the Quran says take people's life for Allah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it says, it's Muslim Brotherhood 101, it's Islam versus, it's all those different ones,
yes,
that are there, everything, just so you can learn on it's Hosea, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, understanding Islam. And so to bring Islam into America, to make it a, you know, some accepted thing, means you have to do away with Israel. You have to do away with Christians and you have to do away with mm-hmm. Jews. You have to put them in servitude. You have to put things in a lower place. And so you're looking at that happening right here. And you saw with the DNC what took place. In the DNC, Democratic National Convention, when America chose our current leader, you know, to be the leader of the country, that and Valerie Jarrett is his advisor, and this is her open goal that she wanted to be able to do. You can't have up and down at the same time. You can't have right and left, and you can't have light and dark. You got to make up your mind. As a nation, we got to decide, do we want to stay with God, whose son, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or do we want to leave him? That's the choice that's before us. Now, what God is showing me is great things are coming to America because the church is going to awake, and we're going to say, we want God. The difficulty is going to be is that how much pain are we going to go through to be able to come to that conclusion. I mean, look right here again at Josh Earnest, of all the different names he could have. You know, are you earnestly being earnest about this, right?
Right.
You know, he's confronted now by the press. Remember the First Amendment press? They're asking this question for you and me. And listen, they're asking, like, where do you stand? Where does the president stand with Jerusalem? Now they're being confronted. And these are grown folks running the country and can't answer that question. Why? Because they did answer it. He said, you know where I stand. You know where we stand.
Right.
Take one more look at this. You've got to see this.
City does this administration consider to be the capital of Israel, Jerusalem or Tel Aviv?
I haven't had that question in a while. Our position has not changed, Connie. Can we...
What's the capital?
You know our position.
I don't. Chris,
No. She doesn't know. She doesn't know. That's why she asked.
She does know.
I don't.
She does not know. She just said she doesn't know.
I don't know.
The Palestinian people deserve an end to occupation and the daily indignities that come with it. Put simply, Palestinians deserve a state of their own.
This development will only draw condemnation from the international community, distance Israel from even its closest allies, poison the atmosphere, not only with the Palestinians, but also with the very Arab governments with which Prime Minister Netanyahu said he wanted to build relations.
So you're looking at, it's just clear as day.
A simple question.
He was honest. I mean, he didn't come out and say, you know, what they said at the Democrat National Convention.
Right.
They just said, I'm not going to say it because we learned at the DNC, if we say that, America won't be forced. Listen, you stand for Israel. But the question is, if you stand silently, you don't stand.
Mm.
Dr. Martin Luther King said, silence in the face of evil is evil. We have to stand up.
Mm-hmm.
Dietrich Bonhoeffer, that's where he got that from, who had to face Hitler and all the nationalist Nazis that were going on to be able to persecute the church. Understand, Hitler wrote his own Bible, the Von Kamp or whatever they call it.
Mm-hmm.
He replaced, I mean, this is so Lucifer 101, what's going on right now. And you know that as the church, if you're in the Word, you know that. When we get back, we're gonna talk about a survey that was just taken in United Kingdom that reveals if we just say, oh, let's throw our arms wide open and just let's become an Islamic nation. Let's no longer be a Judeo-Christian nation. First of all, Jews and Christians, it's not gonna be good for us. Look what's happening to the Egyptian Christians. I mean, as soon as the president said at the prayer breakfast of February the 5th or so of this year, he said, you know, let's not get too much on our high horse here. Remember the Crusaders. You know, 5 minutes later, it's a little exaggeration, you know, 5 days later, there's a video comes out saying we're beheading now the Crusaders on the Libyan shores, on the shores of Tripoli. And that's when I would come back on television and go, listen, I'm not part of that. You know, he didn't deny that at all.
No.
And all of a sudden now this whole theme is Crusaders. I know that, you know, when a CBN reporter is in the beginning of this whole militant rules for radicals, ISIS movement taking place in Egypt. He was interviewing these guys out there because it was a small number. And he said, what is your motivation? They're trying to figure out, what is your motivation? And I don't think this is true. I'm not saying this is true, but this is what they said. He's what the reporter said. They believe the president of the United States is for them in this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that that's true. I'm just saying that's what they believe. And then you go to ABC News just the other day. We showed that to you where they were interviewing the people on the streets, the Iranians who were marching and declaring that America has been defeated. And they said specifically that that you are the ones that armed ISIS. And so the reporter says, she says, so you hate me? They go, no, we don't hate you. You know who Iran basically were saying? They hated our government.
Yeah.
Do you know what ISIS was saying? We believe your government's for us. Do you know what Israel's saying? That your government has lost its mind, has gone mad, but we like the people. Guess what? America's a government by the people and for the people. We have to wake up. It's our government. We're the ones that sent them there. There's only 530 some odd of elected officials. There's 300 and something million of us. God's going to hold us accountable. We are like Josiah in the eyes of God. We have Jehoiakim in office because God has set this man there. And guess what's next? Zedekiah, if we don't wake up. You got to see what took place in this survey in the United Kingdom. You're going to be shocked how they felt about the killing of this particular man, Charlie Hebdo. A survey was taken by Qumres, it looks like, in United Kingdom. Remember the Charlie Hebdo magazine where they wrote a cartoon in a negative light about Muhammad, which I don't recommend. I mean, you're just picking a fight.
Right.
There's no reason at all to be able to do something hateful. You know, as Christians, we're supposed to be known for love anyway. It doesn't matter. You know, that's not our fight. That's not what we do.
Mm-mm.
But in America, there's the freedom of the press. You know, you have First Amendment. That's why the Constitution is so important. Get you a copy of it. But what happened? They went down there. If you didn't see this, and hopefully, we probably don't have a shot of it up right now. But they did this publication. They put it out there, and you know, followers of Islam. Who claimed to be followers of Islam that were doing things in the name of Allah, Ali Akbar, they declared, they'd said that and began to kill folks. And they killed several of these journalists there. They killed a Muslim police officer too, I believe, not sure, but they definitely, that's where 4 million people hit the streets. All the leaders except for our leader did not show up. I mean, even Israel was there on the streets of France.
That's right.
And it's like, we have to wake up. Are we noticing the paradigm shift that's taking place? Well, look right here at the survey. You got to see this thing. In this survey, this is the question they asked 1,000, you know, the way you do surveys, they have to do it a certain way. 1,000 United Kingdom Muslim adults were surveyed, and they're asked this question here. Do you have sympathy for the motives behind the Charlie Hebdo attacks? I mean, look at this thing. It's on Fox News. They were reporting it. And 27% of the Muslims in the United Kingdom said that they have sympathy for this. They felt kind of bad, you know, that not for the people that are dead, but for the Muslims. How it's like, what, you don't kill folks. And if 27% agreed with this, they agreed with it. Do you really want an Islamic nation? Is that what you really want? You know, God loves Muslims, God loves Mormons, God loves Christians, God loves Jews. But the question is who's God? Who's God?
Yeah.
And you got to make your mind. We are founded on Judeo-Christian principles, but we have left there and we can come back there by repenting. This is what it's going to, 27% agree with the murdering. And remember, they went straight from the free press to the Jews. They went straight to the kosher store and began to kill Jews. Hello, Christians. Let me tell you something. You are the default setting for Lucifer. After he kills some of these folks, he's going to come to you.
Well, the narrative.
I'm not saying that's going to happen. But that would be the mindset of what they would want to do. If in fact we just kind of keep our arms open, to this is what I'm talking about.
The narrative that the administration continues to put out is that Islam is not
a peaceful religion
that is those who have co-opted this religion and radicalized it. But these are 1,000 Muslim adults.
Well, and not only that, but there's a scientific survey. So it was actually that stands for over 1 million, they said.
Right.
It represents 1 million United Kingdom Muslims.
Exactly. And so the point
who
is,
are silent. I mean, what we need is if Muslims believe that this has been hijacked and that that's not who they are, you know, we just say, where are you?
We'll give you
airtime if you'll stand up and say, you know, this is not God, and that Jesus is totally accepted. This is a Judeo-Christian nation.
Right.
This is the founding on the principles that the only reason that Thomas Jefferson got a Quran because the Barbary pirates were taking Americans into slavery. They're part of the Ottoman Empire.
To know the ideology of the enemy.
Yeah, if you'll say all that, we got some airtime. It's called truth. I mean, we have to say that. We have to say those things.
Yeah, absolutely. And so it reminds me of what Bridget Gabrielle said when she spoke at a symposium where she said that the silent majority is irrelevant. If there's a 1.8,
and she reviewed every single thing that ever happened, yeah. And most folks said nothing.
Nothing. Nothing.
We have to answer for that. We have to answer for that. Saying nothing is really not an option with God. You know, the silence truly is evil. He says, if you're ashamed of me, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'm going to be ashamed of you for the Father. I'm not going to bring you up. There's been some gospel preach that says you can live in some cave, you can deny the reality and say, oh, that's so, so terrible over your dinner table. You're not going to tell anybody else. God's going to hold you accountable for what you know. And so we have to, and you're right, but Bridget, she's talking about this at the Heritage Foundation. That right. She was there in the symposium. But go ahead.
Out of 1.8 million, 1.2 billion Muslims, she says that 15% are radicalized, which is roughly a number of about 300 million people. It's equivalent to the population of the United States who are radicalized. But yet there's another 800 million Muslims, which she's characterizing as a silent majority. If this is not what Muslims believe, then why haven't you spoken up and saying this is not who we are? This survey actually says, no, we do agree. We agree with the attacks.
Silence is your agreement. I mean, a lot of people, you know, if you're not saying nothing, you agree.
Yeah.
I mean, you totally agree with it, because when people are being murdered and you stay silent, you know, you agree.
And much of the media has remained silent as well.
Well, because you remember the part of the prophetic. By the way, there's a reason why you're starting to see journalists, stepping down.
Mm-hmm.
Because think about it. Does this make sense to be a truth bearer and to talk about the news when you don't really care about it anyway? You're not, you know, you're there because you get a check for $300,000 a year, $1 million a year or something. And, oh, by the way, you're going to die for this?
Right. Under the threat of a sword to your neck?
And that's the reason why they didn't turn the cameras in Gaza right down, right beside the hotel, which we showed you, where they were taking children. And when Gaza was attacking Israel, Hamas
in Gaza
was attacking Israel, which was the third intifada that John Kerry threatened Israel with. Right there, all they did was just take their cameras and just pan them down to the missile that they were putting up, and they were gathering kids around that missile as they're going to fire it at Israel. Why? Because they were hoping Israel would bomb right there where that missile came from and kill the children. But they wouldn't show that. But you have to understand, if you don't know God and you're just there for the money and you want your name out there in lights, it makes no sense to turn the camera and get blown up and die. I mean, there are some journalists, I think about James Foley.
Yeah.
You know, a hero. And there's a lot of journalists that are like that. But these journalists, for their own life, did not turn that camera. So you're going to start seeing these. You're going to start seeing these folks like you saw with Brian Williams. You're going to see even the comedian journalist Stewart stepping down. You're going to start seeing them stepping down because it makes no sense, even in jokingly humor, for people to be in a place. But you're going to start seeing as men and women of God to say, you know what? We've got to let them know. Jesus is the Word of God says, how will they know unless you tell them? And how will you tell them unless someone is sent? You're going to start seeing people that really come up and start speaking truth, even if it costs, and you're seeing things cost. Prophecy. So think about all this that's going on right now. And, I mean, if you think about, if you already know the news and you're trying to change it, you know, it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do. You need to know what to do with the news you know. This is so prophetic. In other words, thank God we're hearing this now. It gives us a chance to be able to change the news, to change our future. But now God's going to hold us accountable if we don't, because he's sending out messengers. He's blowing this trumpet. I mean, it's sounding. What are you doing with it? I mean, what are you doing with this? Well, I want you to hear this particular prophet. I believe she's like a second cousin, niece to Mariah Etter, which was used by the Lord, right?
Powerfully, yes.
Powerfully. And she's going to talk about a couple. First, she's, you know, Sid Roth is interviewing her. It's a little short prophecy. But he's interviewing her first, asking her, how legitimate are you as a prophet? In other words, this is prophecy. A prophetic person is this. And everybody can prophesy who chooses to go after God, Christians, and all. But I've noticed others can prophesy too. Mm-hmm. We won't go into all that. Just Matthew chapter 7. And so, he asked her a couple questions where she got the words right. She heard clearly. But she has a word about 2016.
Mm.
You got to hear this, and something that we need to do. That's why we know the news now, so we can change the news. There's two roads. You know, if you bless Israel If you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, that's one road. Another road is if you turn your back on God and turn your back on Israel, it's a horrific road. As a matter of fact, listen to Gloria now and Sid Roth's interview.
I am in awe over the gift God has entrusted to you, a prophecy. Tell me a few prophecies that you've had in the past that have come to pass.
Okay, I was in a church, and on a Sunday evening, God stopped me. Prophecy came on me, and I prophesied that Reagan was going to be shot that week, but he would not die. And so I had everybody stand up and pray for him. And before the week was out, he was shot. And I got revivals out of that.
Now, what about Berlin?
Berlin Wall, I prophesied that it was coming down. I prophesied the Gulf War and that it would end soon. And I prophesied the Iraq War and that it would be called those names. Exactly, they were called that. And God said, this war is not going to end easy because America, her pride, she took glory for the Gulf War. And he said that God said they gave me no glory. They did not look unto me. So it's not going to be over till I say it's over. And many's going to be killed.
And before the election with President Obama, what did God tell you?
That Obama in 07, he showed me, I didn't even know who he was. And he told me Obama was going to be our president. And then when the next election, I prophesied he was going to win again. And of course, you know, many didn't believe it. And they, the major prophets prophesied the other man, Mitt Romney. And but God told me, I don't care what anybody says, it's going to be Obama. And of course, we know Obama's in the White House.
What has God shown you that will happen in the future?
He showed me that if Christians don't start praying more than they ever have, even the churches become the house of prayer, this next election,
presidential election,
is not going to take place, that it's going to be suspended because evil's going to arise and some disasters are going to happen and some things are going to be put in place and the president's not going to be removed. He's going to stay in and these things are going to happen and they're going to be very bad if we don't get a hold of God.
What other things is he showing you?
He's showing me that the church has got to get back to prayer. Prayer is the power he gave the church. And we got to get the faith of God. Paul said, do we have God faith or are we taught man's wisdom faith? That's what he said in Corinthians. And he said, I come and I showed you in the demonstration of the power of God, my faith by it's God's faith. We got to get back that faith. Oh,
are we supposed to be hearing God at this point? How important is it for us to hear God?
We got to hear God or we're going to be deceived. We're going, God is talking. In Revelation, he's talked seven times. For he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the.
So you're looking at, we're about to go to break. Look at me for a second. Look at me for a second. The Constitution, you need to get you a paper copy of it. It says this, that if a war breaks out, the presidential elections are put on hold. If you want to stay in office, a war. The whole world has been set up. Some of the reports are you're hearing some people reporting that we're on the edge of World War III. This is the real major thing. That we don't know how to work hard. We don't know how to fight hard. We don't know how to do anything hard. We're soft. When Hurricane Sandy hit the northeastern United States, people were trying to plug in their cell phones. They weren't trying to get help. They were floating in mattresses on storm water down to the city hall to complain about the conditions. Nobody even thought about how quickly we can be overtaken as a nation. We have to arise to the occasion. We got to say, dear God, forgive us for not praying. That's why we pray at the end of every program, and we pray. We have a community of prayer. And if you're hanging around folks who are calling themselves Christians and they ain't praying, you need to get around those that are praying. Listen, if two or more gather together in my name, there's Jesus right there in the midst of it. And he's saying, listen, if you'll do that, if I'll see somebody that will stand in the gap so I don't have to destroy the land, I will pause and put things on pause. The answer is not a political answer. When we get back from the break, we're going to talk about, listen, we are Josiah. Josiah was a king established by God that had total authority in the land. Well, in America, you are the king. It's a government by the people and for the people. The only reason anybody's in Washington, D.C. is because you voted for them and you sent them there. Why? Because you're king. I mean, you're the one in charge here. Don't think about it that way. Think about it this way. God's going to hold us accountable for what we did with this nation. We need to wake up and we need to change our minds and we need to repent and we need to become people of prayer. I mean, you think about this. I mean, all this is happening. It's really happening. This is not the movies. You know, we're doing everything we can to bring the proper sources to you. You can go see every source of what we're bringing to you on the VFN Torch. There's no hype. You don't need hype. Not that we would be hype anyway. This is real. We're potentially on the edge of World War III, and reluctantly, every single time, you Americans get pulled into these things, but we end up in them, and it's our sons and daughters. If you haven't gone to a war memorial, that's our sons and daughters, fathers and mothers that die in these things, and borders change, and constitutions change, and new leaders. But in America, we are in charge. Really, it's a government by the people and for the people. So we are, instead of having a king that makes a decision that determines which way a nation goes, in America, the people decide which way the nation's going to go. I know people are pushing the narrative like they're blaming Washington, but you have to remember, you voted for him and her, and you sent them to Washington, and God knows that, even if you convinced yourself otherwise, it's Washington. There's only 530 elected people, potentially, 31, 32. There's 320 million Americans who voted for, and by the way, you know, something like 35% of Christians don't even register to vote. So by the way, that is a vote. People are die. They gave their life for you to be able to vote, and then not even getting educated and calling up, you know, Uncle, you know, Smitty. Hey, I didn't study. Who you want me to? Who you think I should vote for? I don't know, Bubba. You know, it's like, and the decision for a whole school board, a county, a city, a nation is decided off some sort of, you know, I just like the way he looks. I just like the way he sounds.
He sounds good.
You know,
sounds
just
good.
Sounds. Could you like? He rhymes when he talks. He just rhymes and stuff. And next thing you know, he sends your sons to war. You have to understand, presidents send us or keep us from war. So when you frivolously take a vote like that, we have to educate ourselves. That's what we try to do. I mean, obviously, we're not promoting a candidate, but we're talking about values. You know, values matter. And you're looking right here. We're going to be talking about our next program about how we are Josiah, because what happened was God said, listen, King Josiah. This is what he's saying to us in America right now. Listen, American population, Josiah, the church, he says, I'm going to destroy my people. I'm going to destroy Israel. That's what he said. He said, there's just too much bloodshed. All this innocent bloodshed. How many million children have been aborted?
50 plus million.
Have been aborted. It's way more than the number of people who were
Jews
were in Israel at that time. Yeah. There's innocent blood everywhere in America. And God is saying, I've had enough of this. That's why you hear us saying, dear God, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, because that's what it's going to take. But God can do that. This is a God that will respond when we respond. And Josiah said, you're right, God, I'm wrong. I didn't even know it. Nobody, he had not read the word yet. It was read to him. We're going to talk about this in this next program coming up, after the following program. You got to catch it. Make sure you stay tuned to it. Because what made Josiah different? How come they didn't end up going to this captivity? Like God said, it's going to be bad. God said, it's going to come after you. And then what he said was, it's going to happen on your sons. And guess who determined who that leader was going to be of God's people? Egypt determined who it was going to be. And guess who changed Josiah's name for his son to Jehoiakim? Egypt did that. And guess what Jehoiakim means? God's set ban. Guess what our president's first international speech, where it happened at? It happened at
Cairo
University in Egypt, where we empowered or supposedly empowered, invited the Muslim Brotherhood to be a part of that and begin to partner with that. I want to pray with you. This is serious times. Just like she said, God's saying, we got to pray. That's why we pray at the end of every program. Join us every day when we pray and begin to pray in your time with the Lord. Mm-hmm. Let's just call out to him now. Father God, we see we have sinned against you. God, we stand with Israel. God, forgive us for our sin and our wickedness and where we've turned away and where we just, you know, we're focused on idolatry, ourselves and what we wanted and our stuff. And we didn't even pay attention to Israel. God, forgive us, Lord God. We say, protect Israel.
Yes,
Lord, we pray that you would send your angels with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu as he's traveling to the States and speaking at Congress. God, soften our hearts in America, dear Lord, that we can hear what you're saying. Save our nation, God. Save Israel, Father God. Forgive our sins. End abortion. Send a third great awakening. God, we ask you in the name of Jesus. We're standing in the gap. Send revival. Amen. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.